Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
All right. So this is a podcast and a video also for Natural Solutions with Dr. J. So I want to invite the listening audience and the viewing audience here today. And today I'm very honored to have Katharina Dress, who is with Aging in Harmony.
Aging in Harmony.
Aging in Harmony. And it's really exciting. We met at a memory care facility many months ago,
yeah,
at a special reception up on this beautiful patio on the top of a building, a great view of the Bay Area. And at that point, you had mentioned to me that you work with a lot of people in memory care issues and families, mm-hmm, who need some ability to communicate better. Because everyone knows conflicts occur just in everyday life. Mm-hmm. There's personality issues, and in a family, some people are more compatible than others. And when there is cognitive issues starting, that makes things more complicated. But before we get in that, tell me a little about your background and about what you're doing now.
My background. Well, as I was approaching 50, I was looking for a new career that would really get me excited about the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shopping around a little because I knew I wanted to do something in the area of aging because it's so growing and so needed, and being a little older as an asset rather than a liability in the field. But I didn't know what I wanted to do, which is atypical for somebody like me who now is a mediator. Most mediators become mediators first, and then they see where they fit into the niche.
Oh, interesting. But, no, many attorneys also do some mediation too, but that's not the background you came from.
That's
so you weren't thinking
background.
In that, those
I
terms.
I was neither an attorney,
mm-hmm,
nor was I in the field of aging already. I was just drawn to the general area of aging and all the challenges that come with that.
It just suddenly came to you, or there was an experience that...
No, I was just, at that point in my life journey where, I think a lot of people around 50 think about what do I want to do, really want to do with the rest,
mm-hmm,
of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to a number of conferences and workshops and stuff to just learn about aging and what's out there as far as careers. And then I've met somebody who was an elder mediator.
Ah.
And so I found out that there is this little niche that nobody knows about,
mm-hmm,
that's called elder mediation or elder care mediation.
Uh-huh.
Yes, or adult family mediation is another term for it.
Interesting.
As opposed to, family mediation, which is usually between parents who are splitting up and fighting about their kids.
Right, right. Or it could be between neighbors who are fighting over trees or other things like that. So there's
that's
a variety. So there's in the mediation field, there's this particular area and a niche that you discovered that seemed to resonate with you.
Exactly. And so then I did what is kind of the normal path in California, because the field of mediation in California is not regulated.
I see.
And so the typical road to go is to take a 40-hour training and then volunteer with community mediation agencies and court-based programs as much as you can in order to get experience. So I did that for a couple
years. Is there like
a
minimum number of hours that you're supposed to do or anything? Or, and it's not regulated, so it's just...
There isn't, except if you want to be on a court mediation panel, which I am on the mediation panel of the Superior Court of Alameda County.
Mm-hmm.
For the civil court. So, if you want to qualify as a referral source for mediation from that source, then you have to have a certain amount of hours of training and a certain amount of, experience. And I have that. I'm qualified for that.
Right.
That's not really where I look for business,
mm-hmm,
but I just, since that gives you credibility, I did that.
Oh, very interesting. So Alameda County includes places like Oakland and Berkeley and Albany and Kensington's Contra Costa County.
I'm not sure about Kensington, but it goes all the way down to Fremont.
All the way to Fremont. Yeah, and all the way out to Livermore, I believe. I mean, it's a very huge area. And this is in the San Francisco Bay Area, so for those of you who are not from this area, that's what Alameda County is. It's a very large area.
Yeah. So I volunteered with mediation agencies, both in Alameda County and in Contra Costa County, which is the adjacent county inland, and did all kinds of cases, you know, community mediation cases, neighbors, barking dogs, you know, everything.
But this is in the court system where people are like going to small claims court and other places. And
I didn't do small claims court. Okay. That's the only thing I didn't do.
This is what, divorce court or something?
No, they're not referred by courts. Yeah. They're just people, you know, for instance, that call the police because of barking dogs, and the police say, why don't you try community mediation?
Oh, I see that, yeah.
So it's that kind, and then, but I also did court-ordered mediations in civil harassment court. Mm. So that's where people go for restraining orders. And court-ordered mediations in guardianship mediation, which is where people fight over guardianship for minors. Not parents.
Oh, not parents. All right.
But all right. Often grandparents or other family members who were taking care of a kid temporarily while the biological parent was in trouble somehow. And then it became a permanent thing and they applied for guardianship. And often the biological parent says, that wasn't the idea, you know. So anyway, all those types of mediation in this area are provided by trained volunteer mediator. So I did all those kinds to get experience. And then after a couple of years of that, I took an advanced mediation training, specifically in elder mediation. And then I started my business about 8 years ago.
Wow, that's quite... So you have lots of years of experience, a lot of different kinds of circumstances that you've been involved in, and a lot of different... techniques or skill sets that you have in order to figure out what's going on and how to get some communication going.
And in all these years, of course, I've continued to participate in a lot of conferences and workshops and other educational events in the field of aging because, you know, that's my niche, that's my specialty. Right. So since I had no prior experience, I really wanted to be up to date on that. So that's very, very fascinating to me because there's so much new to learn all the time. Things are changing all the time.
That makes sense. Yeah, I know that when, and as people know, I have two best-selling books. Mm-hmm. One is Outsmarting the Dementia Epidemic and the other is Super Brain, Maximize Your Brain Health for Better Life. And so while doing research for these, I've done lots of different interviews with a wide variety of different individuals. And this is the first time I've worked with anyone who's does mediation in the field. Mm-hmm. And so that's very exciting. And there are other podcasts, as people know, on this channel that have the interviews that I've done with people in the memory care arena and the facilities. They don't call them facilities, memory care communities. And other individuals who work with people one-on-one from a medical and a functional standpoint. And I do have some surveys in here also that help people understand where they're at and where things may be going down a little bit. So like, is your memory noticeably declining? Or are you having a hard time remembering names and phone numbers? Is your ability to focus noticeably declining? So when you're working in this arena, you're working with individuals like a family. What would be an example of a family? All of a sudden, something's not working right. They notice something about someone else in the family.
Yeah, I help people who are facing tensions anywhere along the journey of aging. So oftentimes it's relatively early on that some family members think, you know, mom or dad needs more help than they care to admit. Mm-hmm. And they want to talk about it and they run into a wall.
Oh, interesting.
And they bring me in to help enroll the parents and sit down with all family members and talk to them, talk with each other about what's going on.
So that could be like a family member who is living in the same household, like an extended family in a household, or it could be another family member. Is that
anybody?
Yeah.
You know.
Is it
anybody.
Typically that people are living together?
No.
As a large, no, it's not.
Most
it's not
of the
really.
Time it's an adult child who either lives nearby or oftentimes even doesn't live nearby and mm-hmm. comes to visit periodically. I think if you don't see somebody on a daily basis, you notice the changes more.
Right.
And so oftentimes
right. Oh,
it's
sense.
The kid that comes to visit for the holidays that has noticed the difference and that says, you know, I'm really concerned and I tried to talk and they say everything's fine and it's not fine. Mm-hmm. What can we do? So that's one thing. That's kind of early on, mm-hmm. more in the planning process. And I call that facilitated family meetings or facilitated family conferences because mediation, the term mediation implies that there's already a conflict. And mm-hmm. in that stage, mm-hmm. although the refusal to talk, you may want to look at it as a conflict, but people themselves usually say, oh no, we don't have a conflict. So I call that just facilitating family meetings.
Uh-huh. So it's enhancing communication versus a specific, I mean, one
yes.
person may say, I think there's a problem or definitely there's a problem. And the other person isn't in that realm yet. So that's yeah. just getting to.
Yeah. It's usually to framed as let's make a plan for the future of mom and dad.
All right. All right.
So that's one kind mm-hmm. or one
and that's pretty easy to get people together
no.
to do? No.
The hardest part of my job is to get people to the table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they're actually sitting down together, at that point, even though they may think the hardest part is still to come, I know it's not. Because the hardest part really is for me to build connection with each of them and trust and you know, create the willingness and the atmosphere of safety mm-hmm. that they're willing to sit down. The mm-hmm. entire process is confidential.
Right.
So both what each person tells me individually in the pre-mediation interviews
mm.
and what everybody says together, you know, everybody has to agree to keep it confidential.
Right. Oh, very interesting.
To create yeah. an atmosphere of safety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also to make sure that nobody who participates does it with a hidden agenda to want to take legal action.
Mm, mm.
For instance, if a family member considers having mom or dad conserved, that's the California
term. Is that the term? What's
term.
That mean?
Conservatorship is a California term right. for what in other parts of the country is called adult guardianship.
All right, all right.
So, you know, when somebody doesn't have capacity anymore, you can go to court and petition the court
mm-hmm.
to have them declared incompetent and have either a family member or a professional take over fiduciary responsibilities. It can be either for the finances
right.
or it can be for the person, for health care, or it can
okay.
be for both.
So fiduciary does not necessarily just mean money.
No, there's a profession actually now that's called private professional fiduciaries, and they can manage what I call the person, which means anything from, you know, care to where they live and so on, to what's called the estate. That's the financial
mm-hmm.
part. And sometimes it's the same person, sometimes different people,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
take care of
yeah.
both sides.
And so are those individuals, that's not something that you do?
I'm not a fiduciary, no, but I collaborate with fiduciaries because
mm-hmm.
they often get stuck in the middle of a messy family situation.
I see. So the people who might seek your help out could also be this situation, this sticky situation's already there, that
yeah.
there could be a fiduciary or conservatorship or adult guardianship that's already in place.
Could be.
And things are just not
yeah.
like lubricated or working properly.
Exactly. And one thing that happens quite frequently is that if parents have the foresight to assign powers of attorney, either for the estate, means the finance.
Oh, so someone's already pre-designated
person,
or figured
yeah,
that out. Uh-huh.
Or the person, meaning the healthcare decisions, and then they come to that point where the doctor determines, okay, you know, you really need that now. It's called the springing power of attorney.
Oh.
If it doesn't start until the doctor determines it needs to start.
So the doctor makes the determination?
In a springing power attorney.
Oh, a springing.
People can assign powers of attorney that already can manage their affairs concurrently with the elder themselves.
Oh, I see.
You know,
I see.
And oftentimes people assign their adult children.
Yeah.
And the way the parent thinks is, okay, John you know, as a banker, he's really good with money. You should manage my finances. Mm-hmm. And Mary, you know, she is a social worker. She should do all the doctor stuff.
Right.
And she's close up by anyway.
Yeah.
But they don't think about the fact that Mary and John don't see eye to eye on lots of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Mary is trying to make the best possible medical decisions or placement in a senior community.
Mm-hmm.
But there's costs involved.
Right.
And John said, no, that's not necessary. So that's a fairly common situation. So sometimes I mediate just between the adult children without the parent being involved, especially if the parent already is on the journey of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
In the early stages, they can participate. But in the mid to late stages, sometimes they can't participate.
Yeah.
And I'm just mediating with the family members. Sometimes even after the parent has passed, the adult children are still fighting about the estate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. If they pass, that's wow. So that's so curious because I know that a lot of people, like I just recently did an interview with two UC Berkeley students,
mm-hmm.
and they're the co-chairs of Active for Alzheimer's at Berkeley.
Oh, yeah.
And they do a lot of volunteer work in the community, and they're trying to do a scholarship. They're working on a scholarship to help undergraduates start internships so that we have some people already started having interest in Alzheimer's research at the undergraduate level. But one of them, Tierney, her father developed early onset Alzheimer's at age 50. And so I don't know the circumstances of how they arrange things, but I can see how there is this real need for individuals like yourself because this is a thorny situation and it's involving not only individuals who really care, but individuals who maybe have their, you know, hidden agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the individual who has the degeneration of the brain, the nervous system, who, you know, who their personality changes and then everyone else starts responding in a different way than they used to because this is a different person. And how do we deal with it? So how do you address that issue with people?
Yeah, and not only may the personality change or not change, but also, you know, the person early on is usually aware of what's going on
yes.
with them. And the loss of ability and the loss of autonomy is so painful
mm-hmm.
that they fight it every step of
right.
the way.
Right.
So how do I deal with that? Yeah, that goes back to my training, actually, in addition to the training I already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I have a kind of special training in something that's called nonviolent communication.
Oh, NVC, yeah.
NVC.
I took courses in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't like the term. I like better compassionate communication or empathic communication.
Oh, all right. Uh-huh.
And I have a lot of training in that. And I find that especially when working with individuals with dementia, that is so, so, so helpful because
mm-hmm.
in essence, helps people getting out of the head and into the heart. And we can still connect with somebody on the heart who
mm-hmm.
has, you know, is somewhere on the spectrum of forgetfulness.
Right, right. So is the nonviolent communication model, is that something that you actually then teach as part of the mediation process or the pre-mediation, or do you refer people and say, I think it'd be great if you all took this class and you did the outside thing, or
no.
you just use
just
it in your own skill set. You just model it, right?
I just model it, and you know, so from the first moment on that people talk to me in the initial conversation, typically on the phone,
yeah.
you know, I just model it in the way I listen, in the way I reflect back, and so over time, I've seen it a few times, and so my hope is then when they come together as a group, you know, the mediation process typically is somebody says something, I reflect back using the NVC model
right.
in the way
uh-huh,
I do
uh-huh.
reflect. And then I ask them, the other person, would you be willing to say what you heard person A say? Now, they already heard me reflect
right.
in that
uh-huh.
way, and they've already, you know, heard me for at least an hour in pre-mediation and probably
okay.
more.
Okay, all right.
Use
uh-huh.
this.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully they're picking up on that's what they're being asked to do in reflecting.
And you don't coach people in advance that you're...
I tell people in advance I'm going to ask them.
This is a healthy communication style. Maybe you could reflect it.
I tell people ahead of time that, you know, you've seen how I reflect back and you feel really hurt. And I'm going to do that during the mediation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to do that,
good.
Too.
That's great. That's great. So in preparing for this interview, there were a few things we talked a little bit about what I wanted to mention and some questions I have. So I did mention this, but so for the listening audience, some people might be driving, mm-hmm. commuting to work or whatever. So what are like three key tips to spot the issues that might be developing in a family or a situation that would need your kind of work? What are three key tips? You know, someone like, oh, if your parent is starting to forget their name and their keys a lot or something, that might be a clue to something's going on. I don't know what that might be, but you...
So you are asking about what would they see as far as changes?
Yeah, see or hear or feel as far as changes that they go, you know, this, something's going on that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think people know. Mm. People know because they know their parent. If your parent... you know, was clean and orderly all their life, and all of a sudden they're messy, something is going on. Or if you see rotten food in the refrigerator, you know something is going on.
If they didn't that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Or if they always were, you know, really put together, and all of a sudden there are stains on their clothes or their hair isn't mm-hmm. that nice. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's major weight changes, or they used to have a lot of friends and go out a lot.
Now, why the major weight changes?
Because if there's a major weight change, either up or down,
yeah.
there's something going on.
Yeah,
it could be because they forget to eat.
Right.
Or it could be because they don't ever move anymore because they're so worried mm-hmm. about getting out and doing anything.
Yeah, you know? No, those are key points. That's very key. The weight loss, I hadn't thought of that necessarily. And also the... not going out and interacting with people. And definitely that is a key thing. And I know that in the memory care facilities, there's a strong emphasis on trying to create more and more social interaction because the social interaction actually feeds our brains. Mm-hmm. And we are social creatures, and they've done studies of baboons and other pre-human form. And the social interaction is so important for our development and the maintenance of our brain function. And it's one of the key things that people start backing off from is social interaction because maybe they feel a little embarrassed that they can't remember things or they're in the middle of a conversation and they just blank out and everyone's kind of staring at them so they feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So that's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think people usually notice, you know, if there's a major change or you just, you know, have the same conversation with mom or dad all over again. Mm-hmm. And you told them you're coming on a certain date and you show up and they don't know you're coming.
Right.
You know, I mean, people usually notice the changes, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. especially if you don't have daily contact. You know, it's much easier to spot the changes if you don't have daily contact. So sometimes the adult child who's further away can notice changes sooner because mm-hmm. they come only every 6 months or something.
Right.
Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes it's the child who's closer, who sees all the little things,
mm-hmm.
and tells the other child who's coming to visit, you know, just once a year or whatever,
mm-hmm.
be prepared. And then they come, and mom and dad is at their best because they're so excited.
Uh-huh.
They can really, you know, fake it for a while. And so then the child who lives far away says to the other one, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know, that can happen too.
Yeah. So you think the excitement of being with family members you love and you haven't seen for a while actually changes brain chemistry and gets you more awake?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Gets you more awake.
Yeah.
Gets you more engaged. And people are very good at faking it.
Yeah.
You know, you can prepare. You can make lots of notes. You can. I have a sister, actually, who has dementia.
Mm.
And I noticed years before anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
When she finally did get diagnosed and they finally did the, you know, brain whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of x-ray of the brain, I forget the term.
MRIs or something.
Yeah. they were really shocked how highly she was functioning.
Oh, yeah.
Even though she was already that
the brain
far
mass was already showing shrinkage in her.
And the reason is that she was always an extremely highly organized person.
Uh-huh.
She had calendars, lists, everything all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so she was functioning.
Yeah.
On
and
a
she'd
really
already,
high level.
She'd been doing that for many years, just in a regular capacity. And then she was able to continue it because her brain was organized enough. And that's something that as you say, a lot of individuals, as they start to decrease in their functioning, their cognitive function, their brain function, they start making lists of things. And so if you've already been doing that before, then someone might not notice that it was going on.
If you have a lot of structure in place, mm-hmm. you know, if you're a very structured, organized person, it helps, you know, functioning at a relatively high level for a much longer time than somebody who was kind of less organized all their life.
So that might be something that individuals now, if they're listening to this podcast, all the millions who are listening to the podcast and watching it, if they start working on their own organizational skills before this happens, then it may help to maintain their brain functioning.
Yes, on their organizational skills and also on their memory skills.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually about to go and take a whole day memory training with a gentleman whose name, unfortunately, I forgot, but but he is a United States memory champion.
Oh, interesting.
And participates in international memory championships. Oh. I didn't even know that existed until I met him. But I've seen
I never heard of that. I mean, it sounds like game show kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen him demonstrate exercises, and it's incredible. Mm. And he says that these are learnable skills at any age, and that the sooner you develop them, that it really, that there are studies that show that it prolongs, you know, the journey of dementia. If you're, even if you're prone, you know, predetermined to get it, you'll get it later, and it will develop more slowly if you exercise that part of the brain.
That's interesting. Yeah, I know that in I've done a number of maybe 20 plus TV segments around the country as an expert on Alzheimer's and things you can do to help prevent it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things in my brain formula, BRAIN, the N is names. Trying to remember people's names when you first meet them. Because this is a big bugaboo. A lot of people go, oh, I can't remember names. And I think I do, you know, I try to not allow that statement to come in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, it's like the negative saying, I can't remember names, is an obstacle to actually doing something about trying to remember people's names. And there are various books and things on different ways, like FACE. There's a way you can practice when you meet someone, certain ways to actually lock it into your brain, because it uses all different parts of your brain if you actually remember person's name and you associate them with maybe a movie star name or someone else you knew in the past, and it all gets locked in and a little easier to remember names. So memory is a very key component in keeping the brain active.
Yeah.
And then so what three ideas might you have, key ideas, as far as if a family is just starting this process and hasn't contacted you, then what kind of things can they do to resolve some of the issues? What is a pre-mediation process? Are there things that they can do? Is this like using empathic listening, something like that?
Yes, definitely. Empathic listening is really, really important. But most people don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. I'm actually part of a program that's called Mediate Your Life.
Ah.
And one of the things we specifically teach in that program is how to listen with empathy, how to actually do empathy.
Right.
Because
right.
it's an inner attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But there is actual learnable skills to demonstrate that inner attitude.
Ah, very
so,
interesting.
And most
so that's a course that you you teach also, or
I'm part of the training support team, but I've been in the Mediate Your Life program for 8-9 years, something like that, because I just love it so much. I keep going back.
Fantastic.
So empathic listening, but also you also got to have empathy for yourself. That's actually, in my view, step one. because if you notice that your parent or your spouse, you know, that there's major changes, it's hard on yourself too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people get impatient with themselves. They think like they should be more patient or whatever, uh-huh. and they can't do it. So step one is empathy for yourself, mm-hmm. because if you're not empathic with yourself, can't be empathic with anybody else. Right. So step two is listening to others with empathy and reflect back mm-hmm. in a certain way. And step three is speaking, self, you know, expressing yourself in an empathic way. That means making I statements. Most people know about that, but also being vulnerable, mm-hmm. you know, disclosing what your own feelings and longings are and how what's happening, what you observe happening, impacts yourself. Mm. Because the elder usually is going to be much more motivated by any requests you may make if they perceive it as a gift to the adult child than if the child comes across as, this is something you should do for yourself, mom or dad. Ah. There's resistance. I know what to do for myself, right? But if the adult child says something like, you know, I've noticed that you have, you know, you don't have food in the refrigerator when I come, and I've noticed you've lost some weight, and I'm really worried about you. Would you be willing to let me go shopping for you once a week? You know, just to give me peace of mind, because I can't be here every day, and you know how hard I work and all that. You know, as long as the parent can give it as a gift to the child, mm-hmm. it's much more likely to happen.
Fascinating. Fascinating. That's great. I know that over the years, I've studied a lot of different kinds of things, and I think we did the bank code thing together where we had mm-hmm. the four cards of the different colors, and one of them is the nurturer type, individual who... Family is very important, and often they take care of other people more than themselves. Mm-hmm. So that might be that kind of a tendency. If that person was a nurturer type, they have to think a bit more about themselves mm-hmm. versus others so much, so that the self-empathy could be an obstacle for them. And the individuals, I think perhaps the blueprint type individual who's like the CPA or the someone who's very much in numbers and step-by-step and safety and security – There's, they aren't the hugging type. They aren't like a hugger, right?
No.
Maybe they'll go like that with their handshake. And so I wonder if the parent is like that, then the strategy, saying, you know, when I come, I feel so terrible and this and that. I wonder if it would even connect with them if they become even more that way. I'm just wondering if there may be some strategies that we might think of that, you know, if we knew somebody's code, mm-hmm. you know, and speak according to how they would do. So, you know, I would feel like if they were a blueprint type and safety and security and all that was really key to their value mm-hmm. system, then you could say, you know, I would feel so much more secure. Mm-hmm. I would feel so much more safe if we did this that way, and then it's speaking to their language too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What you were saying makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Worrying and I feel unsafe and all. So I know that in one of my books, I do talk about the bank code a little bit, and individuals could go online and find out what their bank code is mm-hmm. as well to better understand what ways they might get stuck in how they communicate with other people and how the other person might like to be communicated better. But this has been really very helpful. So aging in harmony. And that's agingharmony.com?
Yes.
Okay. So that's agingharmony.com.
That's
right. Now, are there any other resources or ways that people could get in touch with you that you would like to express in the podcast? And we will put it on the video as well.
I would. Yes. Thank you for asking. Because, you know, we mostly talked about me bringing families together in one place. Mm-hmm. And that is a lot of what I do.
Is that ideal?
Well.
The best? I mean, if it's possible.
Well, if people want to sit down as a family... Mm. then the best is to do it in person rather than by Skype, for example.
Right, right.
And if some people have to participate by Skype, I think it's most important for me to be in the location where the elders.
Oh, I see. All right.
Because
all right,
the older generation, mm-hmm. you know, being face to face is much more important.
Very true.
Than with the younger
Very
generation.
Very true, yeah.
But what I was going to say is that's not always possible. And sometimes that's not desired. Sometimes the person who contacts me says, oh, we would never get my family together, or I'm not sure, you know, my parents are very private, whether that's a good idea. But I want to learn how to approach the communication differently. So that's something I also
right.
offer, where I basically teach some of my skills
mm-hmm.
To whoever wants to learn them. And I call that conflict coaching.
All right.
And that I do over the phone.
Okay.
So I'm mentioning
right.
that because that's something that's an option for people no matter where they are in the
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I always do a series of at least 6 sessions. You can't have more,
mm-hmm.
but at least 6-hour-long sessions to really get from where am I, where do I want to be, and then learn the skills, practice them in role plays with me, and then go out in the wild,
all
so
right.
to speak, and try them out and come back and we'll you know, evaluate how did
yeah.
it go? How can we tweak it?
So is that also something that's on your agingandharmony.com website?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
so
there's four services.
Four
the
services.
The facilitated family meetings,
uh-huh.
the adult family mediation, the conflict coaching, and also trainings. I offer my own workshops, and that, but I also offer customized trainings for organizations where people work with elders
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
if they want, you know, like home care agencies have brought me in
yeah.
for in-service, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I also want to mention, you'll find that on my website
right.
too, but I do have a speaking series that's called Heart to Heart.
I was
going to
ask that next, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
About the challenges of aging, which is, you know, always a senior community hosts me coming in once a
mm-hmm.
month for 6 months. And anybody can participate, you know,
right.
elders, family members, aging service providers, anybody can come free of charge. And for an hour and a half, each time I teach one of the skills I use kind of bite size,
right.
and then people try it out. And
oh, nice.
It's, you know, it's people say that it's been really, really helpful in their personal and professional lives.
So today is April the 13th. So do you have something coming up within the next month or certain
yes,
locations?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
The fourth Wednesday of the month. I think it's April 23rd, but I'm not sure.
All right. Uh-huh.
So the fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30, we meet at the Oakmont at Mariner Point, which is in the city of Alameda.
Oh, all right.
And 5:30 is kind of mingling and introduction, so we all get to know each mm. other. And then from 6 to 7:30 is the actual, actual workshop.
And
this
is
month's subject
one
is
in the series.
In the series,
okay.
but it's drop in. You don't have to do the whole series.
And it's perpetual. There,
it keeps going on. Yeah.
Okay.
And
so pretty
and
much currently, that is sort of set. But people should go to your website to make
yeah.
sure that. That's happening.
Yeah.
Because they're all listed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely. And this month's topic is Get Ready for Mother's Day. How to respond when people push your buttons.
Oh, wow. Good topic. Title. That's great. So, when's Mother's Day?
Mother's Day is May 8th, I believe.
May 8th.
It's always the second Sunday in May.
Thank you. And I know that May is also Older Americans Month.
Yes.
So this would be a great time for everyone to start thinking about this more and getting in touch with you and using your exceptional resources to the full capacity. It's great. Thank you for coming today. This
Thank
has been wonderful.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great. And so that's the end of this session of Natural Solutions with Dr. J. We hope you enjoy it. And some of the sessions we do have transcripts of, so you could get transcripts by going on our blog and signing up. And we'll talk to you again next week or the week after.
To buy your copy of Superbrain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life, go to superbrain-thebook.com. That's superbrain-thebook.com. Information can also be found on naturalsolutionswithdrj.com.